Praise God. Okay, we have a recorder on. We do record our messages, if for no other reason than because when we get home, I listen to them. And yeah, I hear all my mispronunciations and my ums and ahs and all of those things that come up. But we post our messages on the link is on the Facebook page and also on the church's website. Jackie listens to them while she's down in Texas. We have Jim and Kathy, a couple that are down in Homosassa, Florida. They have Andy and Dale that are living out in Arizona. I have an old Navy buddy of mine and his wife, Terry and Barb, in Mesa, Arizona. And when I was running from God, Terry was praying for me. Because for a long time I was running from God. And it's a real blessing. Deb and I got to go down and visit him and Barb a few years ago. And we found out you do not go to Arizona in June. As it was 118 every day. And you know the quote, yes, but it's a dry heat. So it's cooking in the oven and not cooking in the crock pot. I get that. Of course, a winter or so later, we were about 20 below, and he was commenting about how cold it was up here. I said, yes, but it's a dry cold. So I want to talk this morning about what is love. We talked last week about first doing no harm, that being like Jesus. As Jesus interacted with people, he made an effort to meet them where they were and to bring healing in that situation. And we talked about how when the disciples saw the man that was born blind, their first question was to ask Jesus, who sinned? Did this person sin or did his parents sin that he should be born blind? And we talked about how in our own human mind we try to put labels and figure things out without first going to God. Jesus said, nobody sinned that this should happen, but that God's grace might be manifest in him. So when we talk about what is love, we all have our understanding. We have the understanding of society of what love is. But the Bible tells us some things that love is. In John 15, beginning with verse 9, Jesus says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Jesus, talking to the disciples, said, I've demonstrated my love for the Father by being obedient to the things that the Father has called me to do. And he says, I've done this to demonstrate what love looks like. And he goes on to say, you are my disciples if you keep my commandments. He said, I did this that my joy might be in you and your joy might be full. And he says, love one another as I have loved you. Now, when we go looking at Jesus, we go looking at the example that he set. Jesus loved Judas. The Bible tells us that. He knew what Judas was going to do. Jesus loved Judas. John refers to himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. Remember John, him and his brother James, known as the Sons of Thunder because they were such rowdy people? Jesus loved them. The ones who said, should we call down fire on them just like Elijah did? Jesus loved them. Peter, where he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for you do not seek the things of God." Jesus still loved him. It doesn't mean you don't always call out people. Loving doesn't mean we let things slide. Loving means we point things to, we point people to God and point people to righteousness. 1 John 4, beginning with verse 7. Many of us, those of us that grew up in Sunday school, sang the song, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love." Okay, I got one nod. Everybody else is looking at me like I'm crazy. Gotcha. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God is manifested toward us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to us to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." Again, it goes back to not just saying, "Hi, how you doing?" and being friendly to people. It's making an impact in people's lives. Love is making an impact. Love is making a difference. We talked a couple of weeks ago in the book of James where it talked about reaching out to those who were in sin. And it says some of them saving out of the fire even. Hating the garment cursed by sin. Reaching out and making a difference in people's lives. Verse 12, "No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit, and we have seen and testify that God has sent the Son as a Savior to the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him, and He in God. And we have known and have believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." Again, John is talking about demonstrating the love to the people around us. Not just being nice, not just being friendly, not just encouraging everybody. Wednesday night in the Bible study, where we talked about when Rehoboam... Solomon. You get to be my age, your mind goes on vacation without you. Solomon's son. Solomon was the wisest king ever. After Solomon died, his son Rehoboam was ascending to the throne of Israel. And all of Israel was called and gathered together. And the people of Israel said, "Your father was pretty rough on us." Get that real New English translation in there. You know, your father was a hard guy. But if you'll be kinder on us, we'll serve you forever. And Rehoboam, his son, went to his father's counselors and asked them, and they said, "You know, tell him you'll take things a little easier on him. You'll be kinder. You'll be easier to get along with." I said, "Okay." Then he talked to his friends, and his friend says, "Tell him, you think my dad was rough? Wait till I get a hold of you. The scripture says, my finger will be broader than my father's waist. In other words, I will have a heavier hand on you than my father did." Now, we read that in scripture and we like, I don't know about you, but I have a hard time wrapping my mind around it until I realized that that was the vernacular of the day. That's the way they talked back then. So put it, how would it be the people we know now? Got something come up and we go to our friends. "Well, I wouldn't let him talk to me like that. You are the king. These people cannot tell you what to do. They are disrespecting you. You need to put this down right now." And when we put it in that concept, it makes a whole lot more sense to me than saying, my little finger will be bigger than my father's waist. It's like, no. You have to establish yourself. I mean, your father was the wisest king ever. I mean, you're a great guy, but compared to your father, you're not that wise. So you're going to have to establish yourself somewhere. And as Rehoboam listened and decided to share that on, you know what happened? Israel split, became two kingdoms. I don't think the good friends, the people he grew up with, gave him loving advice. What do you think? The question is, do we become guilty of that same sort of thing? Do we become guilty of giving advice based on our understanding and based on the culture of the day or the modern understanding? Or do we go back and find out what God's Word says? Do we show love based on who God is and how God has called us to interact with people? It says in Proverbs several times, there is a way that seems right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. The ends thereof are the ways of destruction. When we try to do things in our own way, in our own understanding, we are not relying on the love of God. 1 Corinthians 13, everybody's familiar with this passage. Well, I assume everybody's familiar with this passage. If you've ever been to a wedding, you've probably heard it at least once. 1 Corinthians 13, beginning with verse 8, says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And even though I have verse 8 up here, I'm only going to do the very first line of verse 8. Love never fails. When we look at this script, when we look at this passage, as we're looking, I mean, this is the New King James, so it's still not the most common way of referring to things. But we start thinking about this. Love is patient. It says love suffers long. That means love is patient. Old King James says love is long suffering. That's when you suffer a long time. Love is long suffering. Love is patient. And we look at that. How can we be patient? If anybody has ever seen the movie Evan Almighty, obviously it's a comedy movie. I recommend you watch it, if for no other reason than the interaction Morgan Freeman, who's playing God, has with the wife in the restaurant. Where he says, when somebody prays for patience, does God give him patience or does God give him the opportunity to show patience? When somebody asks for a loving family, does God make everything wonderful or does he give them opportunities to work together and learn to love each other? So very profound things in that comedy movie. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love doesn't envy. Forget the fact that thou shalt not covet is one of the commandments. Love doesn't envy. We don't get jealous of the things other people have. We rejoice with them. We encourage them. But it all comes back to, if we are loving them, we are setting it on that love on a standard of what God has done in us. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Isn't proud or boastful. Showing love doesn't like, hey, look here, I'm doing something nice for somebody over here. No, it's getting down in the dirt and hugging somebody that needs a hug. It's reaching out however we can reach out. What is love? Love is showing the grace and mercy that God showed us into other people's lives. Making an impact, making a difference in people's lives. We don't know what people are going through. Maybe God has given you insight into one person or one situation, but on the whole, we know that people are people. We are all hurt. We have all been through things. Every person that I have ever met, and I've met quite a bit, every person that I've ever met has gone through some hard times in one kind or another. Now, Since God doesn't waste anything. And the Bible says that all things work together for good to them who love the Lord, to them who are called according to His purpose. As we have gone through things in our life, hopefully it has built up some compassion that we can share with some other people. Hopefully it gives us a level of understanding. And while I've never been through that, I know what it's like to hurt. While I've never gone through that specifically, I can tell that you are hurting and I want to help. That's love. Bears all things. Puts up with a lot. Doesn't give up. Doesn't fail. When we are trying to reach out and help somebody and we get nothing but attitude back, happened to me. I don't know if it's happened to you. When we have reached out, there's that temptation within us, within me, maybe not in you, at one point to say, fine, that's the way you want it. I'll just stay out of your way. Guess what? I didn't suffer long. I didn't bear all things, and I gave up. That's not what I'm called to do. That's not what we're called to do. We are called to love people. See, every day we have on this earth, whether it's 2 weeks or I think the oldest person in modern times, the oldest World War II veteran is 118, I believe I heard recently. Okay. So he's not 118 anymore. But 118. When I first moved up here, I met Luella Cattell, who at 102 was running a rooming house and scrubbing the kitchen floors on her hands and knees with a washcloth at 102. Short little lady, feisty as all get out. However long we have on this earth, it's still not even a blink compared to eternity. However long we're here, it still doesn't even register compared to what we're facing, compared to what's coming. So in this time that we have, we are called to show God's love and to be merciful and to be kind and be patient and to encourage and to strengthen. Matthew 10, changed gears just a little bit, beginning with verse 17. Says Jesus is talking. It says, or it's talking about Jesus. That's Jesus, was going down the road, one came running and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all of these things I have kept from my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me." But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So many people will read that passage and even the passage that follows and talk about how we should give away everything we have. Yes?
That was Mark, not Matthew.
Yes, it was.
You said Matthew.
Okay, but I read Mark. That's the beautiful thing about a small congregation, because that got recorded. The mic is that sensitive. So now everybody knows that my wife just corrected me in the middle of service. Praise God. We do things to bust the pastor's pride because, you know, it's a... Praise God. Okay, at any rate, get back to my train of thought here. This guy came running up to Jesus and said, "What should I do?" Because he knew there was something missing in his life. And Jesus referred him to the commandments. And he says, "I've done all of that." And the scripture says, Jesus, looking at him, loved him. And he loved him enough to address the issue still missing in his life. Not that the guy had a financial sheet. Not that the guy had possessions. But that the possessions had such a grip on him that he wasn't willing to let him go. Things can get a grip on our lives. Whether it be finances, whether it be security, whether it be family, whether it be whatever. And not only our lives, but the lives of people around us. And Jesus loved this guy enough to bring up what the issue was. To point out, here's an area that you haven't surrendered. Love is having the ability and having the desire not to correct other people, but to point out those areas that are lacking in our lives. Those areas that are lacking in other people's lives. Jesus didn't tell everybody he met to go sell what they have and give to the poor. In fact, when the woman brought in the alabaster box with the ointment and washed Jesus' feet and dried them with their hair, and the people complained and says, why wasn't this sold to give to the poor? Jesus didn't rebuke her because he recognized what she was doing and recognized her love. And also recognize the attitude of the person who said, how come that money wasn't sold? Because he carried the bag. It was Judas that said it, and Judas, the thief who betrayed Jesus, was the one who carried the bag with the money. Jesus didn't tell everybody to go sell what they had. He met each person at the point of their need. He met and dealt with them in what was lacking in their lives. This young man came to Jesus, and Jesus looked at him, loved him enough to address what was going on. Final passage of Scripture, Proverbs 27, beginning with verse 5. Says, open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. How we deal with people reveals whether or not we actually love them. In Dave Ramsey's course, Financial Peace University, as he's talking about people having an accountability partner and dealing with finances, and he says for married people it's easy. You kind of live with a financial accountability partner. You have to get on the same page, but you have one in the house. But for singles, it's not so easy. And you have to find somebody that you trust who has the ability to speak into your life. And one thing Dave says in that training that I always get such a kick out of, he says, now, I don't mean your shopping buddy who, when you say, oh, should I buy this? They say, oh, yes, go get two. Okay? Telling people what they want to hear is not loving them. Telling people what is right, what is true, what is accurate, and what is important is what is. Open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. It's better to tell somebody that they're doing something wrong than just kind of sit back and not say a thing. It says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. If somebody loves you enough, really cares for you enough to speak the truth into your life, it's going to be painful at times. But it's better than somebody always telling you that you're okay and everything's fine. Each and every one of us are put on this earth for God's purposes. Each and every one of us are gifted. Each and every one of us have a call on our lives. Each and every one of us have, if we look in the back, have this direction, this path that we've walked. And sometimes it was very convoluted. Sometimes it was very difficult. And sometimes looking back, we know that Had God not brought us through it, we never would have made it. Every last one of us have places, things we can look at in our past where it was very, very obvious in hindsight that God was at work. The God who brought you this far didn't bring you this far to leave you here. He brought you this far for a purpose. We are called to show God's love to our brothers and sisters. We are called to show God's love to the world around us. We are called to be His witnesses and to shine a light into the midst of it, in the midst of every situation we find ourselves in. We are called. We are filled with the Spirit of God for the purpose of showing God's grace and God's glory in this land, in this time, in this age, in this location, wherever we happen to be. Where we find ourselves unable to do that, where we find ourselves unwilling to do that, then we are being disobedient to God. When we find ourselves more willing to rely on modern thinking or the current culture rather than seeking God's face, we become very self-serving and we are not being loving. We read last week talking about Jesus, how we are to emulate Him, and it says, a bruised reed He will not break and a smoking flax He will not quench was the prophecy in Isaiah. That Jesus went to those who were hurting and made them better. We talked about the woman taken in adultery that was brought before Jesus, and all the elders of the synagogue wanted to stone her. It says, according to Moses, such a one should be stoned, but what do you say? And Jesus wrote in the dirt. And He said, let you who is without sin cast the first stone. And He continued to write in the dirt, and they went away from the oldest to the youngest. And then Jesus looked up and everyone else was gone and turned to the woman and said, where are your accusers? And she said, no one accuses me, Lord. And He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. It's important to realize He did not say what you did wasn't wrong. He did not say it wasn't sin. He said, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. As we deal with people, as we find ourselves interacting with people around us, God has called us here. He has put us here in this place. The Bible says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in his ways. It goes on to say, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his mighty hand. God puts us in situations that we might show His love and grace and mercy. And if we mess up, God is still gracious to lift us up and to give us another chance. I don't know about you. I am very, very, very grateful for that. God has called each and every one of us to show His love to the people around us. Sometimes the people around us are the people in our own households. Sometimes they're the people on our street. Sometimes they're that coworker. Those of you who still have coworkers. Sometimes it's the coworker that gets up in your face, makes your life difficult. But we are called to show God's love every place that we go. Love is patient. Love is kind. Is not envious. Is not boastful. Endures all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and never fails. Father, we do thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You, Father, that You have called us to be Your witnesses. And Lord, that You have gifted us and equipped us. And Lord, that You continue to do so as we continue to learn and grow. That though we fall, we shall not be utterly cast down, but You uphold us, You lift us up, You teach us, and You guide us. To continue to bring us on, to make us more and more and more into that vessel fit for the Master's use. So, Father, we thank You for the opportunities to show love, the opportunities to show patience, the opportunities, Father, to be a blessing, the opportunities, Lord, to be a friend to those who need them, who need one. To be a comfort to those who mourn. To strengthen those who are weak. To encourage those who are heartbroken. All, Lord, with the grace and the comfort and the strength that you have given us. Father, we thank you for it and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes.